no such thing as a media ban. We don't have a media ban.
Ah, you do.
No, we don't.
A donkey is eating. A donkey is a pallet. There's nothing else to eat.
He was massive. Legs, ass, spit. But I burst out laughing about the
So we have to start the show today by congratulating Ballinamore. First Leitrim County Championships since 1990. A long, long wait, because usually you associate these famines, Niall, with, you know, the underdogs, the teams that don't usually get to them. These are the market leaders in Leitrim football. This is their 21st county title. The next best to them is their local rivals, Aughwillan, on 12. And Aughwillan have won 7 since Ballinamore last won one. So they got a little bit pissed off of this crowd, you know, catching up on their record. So like 31 years, a long time for a club with 20 titles already.
Yeah, I was reporting on this match yesterday, Willie, and I was looking through the history books and seeing that it was 31 years and they'd only competed in 3 finals since 1990 as well. Like, so I suppose for the most successful club in the county, like, it was a huge drought and just a huge occasion for them to get back to the final yesterday as well.
Absolutely was. A great football too, Lee, in fairness. Like, I mean, a lot of people raving about the standard of football, a lot of kick passing, some fantastic scores in it as well.
Yeah, it was really brave football. It was end to end. They were both teams were really going for it. There was a lot of standout players, but Wayne McKeown, he was halfback for Ballinamore, number 7. He was just a beast of a man. I was really impressed with him. He was plowing through everybody. I actually thought he looked a little like Mickey Burke, the Honey Badger, you know, for me, just because the tattoos, the stature, the build and everything, and just the way he tackled. And then at full time, the camera was on him and he dropped to his knees. He had his hands in his face and the emotion just overcame him, you know, and it was strange to see, you know, such a burly, strong, powerful man, you know, like drop to like that. But that's just how much it means to them, you know.
Yeah, he threw a dummy solo for his point too, a nice little one from it, just to get it. He actually made the angle even tighter with the dummy solo. There was no need for it at all.
Yeah, he was playing with such confidence at that stage. Like the whole way through the game, he was. You'd hear about a lot of players kind of shooting on sight, but this lad was just passing on sight, and he was passing off the outside of the boot, the inside of the boot, and he was on fire yesterday, and definitely a well deserved man of the match.
Yeah, definitely was. And then there were some great scenes at the full time whistle. Obviously, a pitch invasion. You had the captain Dean McGovern crying before he lifted the cup and gave the cup a lovely little kiss then and kind of cried again. And it's like, Jesus, we needed that. I think we needed that a bit, Niall, didn't we? I know there has been some good scenes, but it's the first county final there where you're actually looking, going, brilliant game, close game until the last minute, pitch invasion, crying, tears, long wait, famine. Now we're into club season, I feel.
What more could you ask for, really?
Yeah.
No, but like from the very outset yesterday, there was just a county final feel to that game. Like there was the parade before the game, there was a band there, there was a huge crowd at the game as well. And there was just, even before the ball was thrown in, I knew we built up to the game a bit last Thursday, but you just felt there was going to be a tight, close game. And that's exactly what it was yesterday. I suppose the game, like all the sideshows were good, but the game was brilliant as well. Like it was end-to-end stuff. It was tight. And it was, as well as that, like it was kind of direct football. There was no, in a lot of football games these days, you kind of see the ball being kind of passed around aimlessly, but it was Mohill were just booting the ball in the top of the full forward, and the whole way through it really was great stuff to watch.
Yeah, super stuff. And the 58 minute goal, Niall McGovern, Dean's brother, Dean gave him the pass. If he didn't score this was an absolutely brilliant finish, Lee. If he didn't score this, he would have been absolutely killed. Like, there's literally a hand pass there for another man to sidestep across and go around the goalkeeper, and it's in the net. Chose not to do it, went himself, backed himself, and an absolutely brilliant finish.
Yeah, I mean, fortune favours the brave. He was the coolest man on the pitch that late in the game. He had nothing but goal on his sights. But I was sort of looking at it and I was kind of thinking, the person who was standing free to try to get the palm goal, was he maybe capable for a square ball? I don't know. Or maybe that was going through his head. Or probably more likely, you know, he just thought, you know, this is my moment and I'm going to take it. And then he took it with both hands.
Could have been that either. But like another thing, when there's a man inside you and you go yourself, it does mess with your head, as in, shit, you know, should I give that? You need an awful lot of confidence to ignore that one, because that's the one you'll be lynched when you go back in the dressing room if you don't miss that. The greediness of that, to not give it inside. like, you know, you would talk about and everything. So psychologically, by ignoring that man inside, you need incredible confidence, you know, to be able to stick it away like he did.
Yeah, I think every player has experienced that at a few stages in their career when you're running through on goal. And not only do you have to beat the goalie, you kind of have to beat that voice in your head, like, should I pass?
I'd always give it.
Should I
just go? So that you're covered yourself, you've covered yourself.
I think it was about 5 minutes earlier, there was a very similar situation and they gave the ball and the fella he gave it to kind of delayed a small bit and it was saved by the Mohill goalkeeper. So I'd say Niall McGovern, he was probably just thinking, right, we've missed the last one, I'm going to boot this one now. And it was a brilliant finish too, like, drilled it low and it stayed to the ground. Yeah. The goalie hadn't a chance, like.
Yeah, no, it was an absolutely brilliant goal. All right, so we mentioned the scenes after the game, lads, and Ballinamore captain Dean McGovern was overcome with emotion. He was lifting the cup. I'm delighted to say Dean joins us on the line now. I'd say you're one happy man today, Dean.
Ah, absolutely delighted. I don't think it's really sunk in for myself or the teammates yet. It's been a crazy last 20 hours, but yeah, no, listen, it's brilliant. We're absolutely delighted.
So, like, it's 31 years. And, like, I mean, for a club like Ballinamore, who are the big successful club in Leitrim, you've 21 county titles now. The next best is 12 or 13. Like, I mean, this must have been really gnawing away at the club.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. But I suppose kind of the biggest thing for us, you know, it wasn't mentioned a huge pile, in fairness, kind of, you know, to get that number 21. But, you know, in the back of your mind, you're always thinking, Jeannie Mac, you just want to just get it and be like, be done with it, and then kind of create kind of your own legacy going forward. Then that's kind of the way we were looking at it.
You were overcome with emotion. You were crying before you lifted the cup. You gave it a lovely, tender kiss then. So it was a nice moment on the telly.
Oh, yeah, it was incredible. Like, you know, I suppose kind of from you start playing football, you know, and you're playing in the front garden with your brothers and sisters, and you kind of maybe lift a fake cup after beating them in a match and thinking to yourself, you know, you might get to lift it someday in front of your club and your teammates. It's an incredible thing and something I you know, you kind of picture it in your head, but when you do it, it's really incredible, to be honest.
Because you share around captains, do you? Like, I mean, when you were in 2019, you had a different captain that year.
Yeah, so we kind of share around captains. So Shane was our captain in 19, and then Wayne was our captain last year. He got man of the match yesterday. And then, you know, lucky enough, I suppose, it was just Dom put me as captain, you know, the week of the league final, and unfortunately we lost that. But, yeah, no, today we got the big one, and I'm just delighted that I was the one, you know, got to end that 31-year famine.
So, like, I mean, we're talking about obviously the 31-year wait, you know, you're crying, there's great scenes at the end of the game, and then for it all to be captured on the television, so like the whole country saw it, you know. Did you notice after the game the attention it was after getting?
Yeah, so I suppose kind of the big thing was, I was lucky enough when the final whistle went, the first people I met was Niall and Barry, so they're my brothers, and you know, we were crying and hugging each other, and it was just pure delight. And then the next person I met was obviously Keith Keegan, my marker from Mowell. And then I met my sister, Emma. And I kind of just fell to the ground. Like, I remember, like, Keane Lynch saying, you know, you're looking for your breath. And I remember thinking, geez, I can't breathe properly at all. It was incredible. And, like, Emma was just kind of holding me and I fell to the ground. And the TG Cahir people were pulling me away to come and lift the cup before I could kind of greet the rest of my teammates. And I was kind of like, no, I just want to meet the rest of them. But they were like, no, we have to do it. It's all the schedule. But I was like, right, fair enough. So I kind of went with them.
Yeah, they're fairly cutthroat, those TG Cahir. I got man of the match in a county final and I was grabbed and pretty much dragged across the pitch. I couldn't celebrate either. It's like, Jesus, lads, relax. I know that, like, they are on a tight schedule, so they have to get the cup presentation or whatever interviews they want out of the way. But the celebrating with your teammates is pretty important too.
Yeah, no, exactly. Like, you really have to appreciate, like, I remember kind of when they had me up on the podium or whatever and getting ready to accept the cup, I said to, my uncle is like the vice chairman, in fairness, and I said to him, my mum has the speech, so I kind of wrote it the day after we won the semi-final. I just handed it to her and I was like, listen, if we were happy to win, give it to me after that. And I was like, I need the speech off my mother. Like, I wouldn't have a clue what to say or who to thank or any of this sort of stuff. Kind of, you hadn't really kind of considered the final whistle going and you're winning, and what takes place after. Unfortunately, I've never seen it as a kid or growing up, like 31 years, I'm only 24, so it was all alien to me, but yeah, thankfully just things worked out, and yeah, no, in fairness, they're fairly cutthroat, but just to see the boys after was incredible.
Yeah, Dom Corrigan said it was a great advertisement for Leitrim football. It was a fantastic game, some brilliant points kicked, like lots of kick passing. Like, is that something Dom has focused on? You know, more a traditional brand of football, maybe?
Yeah, no, I suppose kind of the big thing was with us, like, he said it to me after the game when I was chatting to him, we were having our food. He said we had an 80% conversion rate, so that was, we had one wide and two drop short.
Wow.
Like that was way ahead of what we've been. Normally we were at the 65 kind of mark, but like, you know, to kick one wide in the county final and everything to kind of come to a culmination was brilliant. But Mohol was there. Mohol was at 68%, you know, and they kick very little wides. Like, you've probably seen the points they kick. Keith Byrne will kick great scores all day. And listen, like, I suppose kind of stats matter very little, but I just think, you know, the willingness of lads to get up the pitch and support each other was massive, like,
yeah,
towards the end of the game especially.
How did Dom end up managing you guys? What's the connection there? You know, he's ex-intercounty manager, so, you know, it's a big get for a club.
Yeah, so I suppose kind of Dom only lives 25 minutes away from Ballymore. We're kind of on the Cav and Fermanagh border.
Right.
So it's handy enough. And I suppose he's been quite influential, obviously, with St. Michael's. One of our players obviously played with them as well. So he's well kind of renowned with Ballymore. He knows it well enough. And he was familiar enough with a lot of the previous players as well. So literally, it was a massive coup when we got him. Unfortunately, in the first year in 2019, we didn't win it. There was massive disappointment that year. And last year, you know, obviously we didn't get across the line either. But this year, it made it so much sweeter. And listen, Dom's a brilliant manager. It's well renowned. Like, he wins county championships wherever he goes. And like, Leitrim's no different now.
You were involved in the goal. The goal was a huge score, obviously. Your brother Niall scored it. You would have absolutely killed him. What a finish that was. There was a man inside him. How did he not pass it in?
Oh, I don't know. I was going to kill him if he didn't pass, because the biggest thing we kind of work on is, you know, the palm across. But in fairness, tonight he's a confident guy, and, you know, if anyone's going to back himself, you know, it's going to be Niall. And in fairness to him, he delivered when we needed it most.
Well, that was kind of, well, I wouldn't say it was it, but there was such a big score at that stage.
Yeah, listen, I suppose Wayne kicked a massive score from 50 yards, I think, before it, outside the right, on the free, kind of in front of the stand. And that was a massive score. And then when we got the goal, I think everyone in the team kind of felt Mohol weren't going to score a goal.
Yeah.
And I think if we got one more score, I was like, yeah, no, I think we'll see it home and we'll get the Vina Cup home to Ballymore.
Yeah, so it's a lovely feeling. County champions after 31 years, your captain. You played very well on the day. New Leitrim manager Andy Moran watching you from the stands. So, like, I mean, a nice start in front of him.
Yeah, no, listen, I suppose the biggest thing with Andy, I'd say, obviously, you've seen probably the reports probably on the Leitrim Championship. Like, there is good footballers in Leitrim, do you know? You've seen Keith Byrne, you've seen the Shane Moran, you've seen the Tom Pryors, the Donald Flynn's, the Niall McGovern. These guys are good footballers. It's just, the biggest thing in Leitrim is belief. Do you know, they can go out and play college football with some of the best footballers all over the country, and they won't be out of place. And for Andy Moran, I think the biggest thing for him is to bring a belief to the scene and just get lads to back themselves, because obviously we're not going to be competing for the Sam Maguire. That's a given, I suppose, kind of with the top 6-8 teams all over the country. But I suppose as a county, you know, we were in Croke Park in 2019. Them days are massively special, and, you know, you want them to come around more often than they have been.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, what happened then, you know, in Terry's second year wasn't as positive as the first one. I suppose when you get to the championship, you come up against a Roscommon or a Mayo or something, and sure, it's almost an impossibility.
Well, I suppose Terry's second year, you know, we had a good enough start to the league. We drew with Derry, up in Derry, and then we played Cork, you know, who's top 8-10 team in their own right. And, you know, we were 3 points down to them in the second half. Lost them by 8 in the end, but it was a game that got away from us. Loughborough was a game we could have won as well, but you know, I think the COVID thing, we probably didn't manage it as well as the whole group. And you know, looking back, it's probably something we probably regret a wee bit.
Yeah. Before I let you go, I know you want to get back into the celebrations. Are you back in Plan B? I suppose Plan B will give you 7 championship games against, you know, a similar level of Talton Cup to play for as well. What are your thoughts on that before I let you go?
Yeah, no, I would be back. I'm not usually familiar with it, to be honest, with you, Wooly. I haven't looked a huge amount into it. I was going to kind of wait until the club scene looked over. But I think, yeah, the more games, the better. You know, everyone wants, like, Leitrim people especially, like, they're usually passionate about their football. They want to see Leitrim playing as much football as they can. And listen, you know, if it makes us become a better county in footballing-wise, yeah, we're all for it here. You know.
Yeah, I'll let you back into that cup. It's a very small cup. You, like, I mean, you wouldn't even fit too much drink into that. I don't know if it, I hope it's
oh,
not...
I didn't even get to bring it home with me.
Oh, did you not?
Bring it home with me. No, I didn't get to bring it home. So, we'll enjoy the next few days and we'll see where it takes us anyway.
Dean, thanks very much for taking the call and congratulations.
Thanks, William Wooly. Take it, Andy.
Great stuff from Dean there. Geez, I'd love to be in Dean's shoes now, heading back into the pub there just for a nice day. Might watch the video, you know, have a good chat with the lads. The day after is always a better day because the night of the county final is a complete blur. And just a little bit jealous. So congratulations to Ballinamore. We won't say any more than that. I hope they have a great day. Big news out of Clare, Niall. I'm going to show this to you. Is Tony Kelly. What's going on here? Right, so Tony Kelly looks like he's gone now for the rest of the club season. And he's going to miss next year's National League. Tony Kelly came on for his club yesterday, Ballyea, scored 2 points. So he's obviously injured. Must have done it in training, whatever. So if you've made a mess of your ankle, why is he coming on to make it worse? Number one. Number two, if he's okay to come on and go through the pain barrier, can he not play one more bloody game or two games? They're in the semi-final now. And number three, I'd say Brian Lowen is pulling his hair out with, you know, the best player in the country being used by his club when he is injured. There's just so much. This is a little bit kind of, I don't know what to make of it.
It's a really strange one, Wooly. Like, you'd almost think Ballyhale nearly bluffing a bit here, trying to let the other teams know that Tony Kelly is out or something like that, because it's such a strange one. Like, before the game yesterday, there was like the kind of talk in Clare was, is Tony Kelly going to play? Is he not going to play? And he warmed up and he was in his tracksuits. And like he was moving around and he seemed kind of, maybe you weren't sure, like, because he was in the tracksuits. But then he didn't start the game. But then he came on, I think it was with 20 minutes to go. The game was tight enough at that stage in Ballyhale. Like, they needed Tony Kelly basically, yeah, at that stage. And he came on and he was flying. Scored 2, like, trademark Tony Kelly points, just bombing down the wing.
So that's my point. If he's able to do that, why can't he play in 2 weeks' time and postpone that surgery if he needs it to play for his club? Because if he's willing to take a risk yesterday, it's no less of a risk in it for the next game, is it?
It must be a long-term sort of injury that he's had, Wooly, and you're just waiting for, like, surgery was needed at some stage, and maybe whether this is the only time he can get in or whether
maybe it's that,
this
yeah
is the right kind of thing to do. But I remember he did have, it was a 2020 All-Ireland quarterfinal. He went down in the warm-up against Waterford that day.
Yeah.
And he played through the whole game. Like, and he wasn't bad, but he wasn't Tony Kelly as we usually see him. Like, but I suppose it must be a long-term thing that has kind of been holding him back. But like, when you see him yesterday in the last 20 minutes, he certainly didn't look like a fella who hadn't holding him back, because I'm telling you, he was bombing down the wing. Like, he was in as a sub, and you could see he was in it as a sub. The speed, he was leaving lads for dead. Like,
yeah, no, like he always does. It's a weird, like, Brian Lowen, the county manager, like, I mean, obviously putting the loyalty, Lee, of the club to one side. This is your best player by a mile who's injured, and he's taking a chance with the club. He can't probably tell Tony Kelly not to, because it's his club, but he's probably thinking, holy shit, you know what I mean? If this lad does more damage.
Yeah, it's an impossible sort of situation for them, the county manager. They must just be watching all of these club matches just through their hands, you know, the fingers covering their face, because it's nerve-wracking seeing them get stuck in the heavy tackles, the, you know, county players going up against each other and starting scuffles, and you're probably just sitting back thinking, God, I'm going to have to try and solve that now when I get them together for the county. But
well, now,
it's just a mess.
Don't worry, we'll get to the Derry club football in a minute when you want to talk about that kind of stuff. Because there was war up there at the weekend. We'll get to that in a minute. Finish up with Clare here now, 6 mile bridge route. Strange one. Shane O'Donnell's obviously back from the concussion. Great to see him back, actually. Because, he missed a good few Clare games from that one concussion he got in training. David Reedy and himself both scored 1-2. Surprising with this is that they hammered 6 mile bridge. Do you know 6 mile bridge had beaten them the last couple of years and no one was expecting such a one-sided game, right?
Yeah, exactly. Airog did last 6 mile bridge in the semi-final last year, the quarter-final the year before, so it was nearly becoming like a bit of a hoodoo for them. But it was very one-sided scoreline. Shane O'Donnell and David Reedy both got 1-2, so it seemed that 6 mile bridge weren't able to contain, like, they would be Airog's two danger men anyway, but they definitely did the business for the boys.
Yeah, so they're dethroned in Clare. Nemo Rangers were dethroned in Cork. We might get that in a little while. Glenties beat Gweedore in Donegal, Lee. This is some great news. We'll talk about this on Friday. This sets up a county semi-final against Kilcar. And this is obviously a repeat of the 2020 final, which is still, you know, up under different committees to see who it was appealed. Kilcar appealed and won. Niamh Connell reappealed and they won. So then now they still are county champions. This is the 2020 county final that they used too many subs in or something like that. Or, you know, that was the accusation. And I think it's at a third appeal stage now, Lee. So, that's a huge one. Glenty's actually beat them pretty comfortably, Gweedore. It was an Kevin Cassidy wasn't playing and Eamon McGee, and they're pushing on. When you think back to their 2018 brilliant year where they won the Ulster, they were arguably their two best players.
Yeah, I mean, we talk a little bit how players, when they get a little bit older, especially former county players, you sort of move them to that full forward position. And I'm pretty sure that's what they did with Kevin Cassidy. And he was devastating for them. So you would think that he would be a big miss, but it is insane that they're just going to put that whole appeal thing. The fact that it's still the 2020 championship's not resolved and it's just being set on ice while they go and meet each other essentially a year later, but might have to have a replay from the year before. I mean, it's like completely uncharted stuff in GAA history, surely. It'll set up a really fiery match, but I bet you they'll be counting every single sub, you know, and being really diligent about everything that they do going forward.
Yeah, and it's on TG Cahir next Sunday, which is absolutely fantastic. So I told you, we've really kicked off now with the Sunday game. I thought some of the games so far, when you're watching first round match or group matches or quarter finals, it doesn't have, you know, what we got with Ballinamore and Mohill and what we will get, I'm sure, with Niamh Connell. Niamh Connell have some consistency. Like, they're there every year. They're such a dogged team. What happened up in Derry, Lee? So there was war with Lavie and Ballinderry. It was caught on video. I always wonder who videos these ones, because you're incriminating your own club players, or else it's just the person videoing it is a neutral that's just gone to watch the matches, only delighted to get all these boys suspended.
Yeah, I think maybe it's the younger people who are videoing it, because they video everything. So any opportunity they get, you know, it's nearly just habitual at this stage for them. But it was doing the rounds in all of the WhatsApp groups. I've got three different angles from it now. And I'm still trying to suss out what's going on. I've written to a few people how exactly it started, who exactly was involved and stuff. But I mean, it was really, really chaotic. I mean, proper digs were being thrown in. The subs jumped over the gate to try and get involved. People were trying to hold everyone back. It completely kicked off. But from my understanding of it, Lavie were much the better team, and the Ballinderry didn't really put too much up against them. They're sort of a fading side, that Ballinderry. They were quite dominant in Derry in the sort of late noughties, but they're sort of running out of steam now, you know, apart from maybe Garth McKillness and stuff. They're not too many involved with the county panel. And then Lavie's got a really young and up-and-coming team that you keep hearing about. They beat Slack Neil earlier in the season. So, yeah, it's all set up really, really nicely.
Well, unless Lavie get players suspended now from those videos, I couldn't see that many clear punches. I saw an awful lot. It's like the camera was catching up on these, you know, incidents rather than actually filling them. Maybe I didn't see the same version you did.
Yeah, well, there's three versions, maybe four, that got all sent around. Depends on how many group chats you're in. It's mad that this has become a big function for WhatsApp in the GAA circles. It's just videos of fights that do the rounds. But no, hopefully not, you know, because Lavie, They're set up now to be in a semi-final, I think, against Slocneil, and then Glen are playing the loop. But what, well, for me, as a neutral's point of view, what I want to see is a Glen and Slocneil final, because that would be a real derby. Them two absolutely hate each other. Glen would have been really, really successful underage. They've won lots of like minor Ulster titles and under 20 Ulster titles, while Slocneil have obviously been more dominant on the senior side. But this Glen team are finally starting to come through. They're both from like Mahara sort of area, so it is like an actual derby. You know, they sort of have to share that village, that location. So to see them in a final, like from a neutral's point of view, is definitely what I want to see next.
Yeah, we'll keep our eye out for that. There was drama in London as well, lads. St Kieran's won their second ever London title. 130 into £12. Wait till you hear this. St Kieran's were playing against 10 men at one stage. So there was a row in this as well. Not to focus too much on the rows. There was a row going in at half time. There was 6 players sent off, 3 from both teams. And I think Fulham Irish at one stage had 3 players sent off and 2 black cards. Did 10 players on the field. Like, I mean, I've never heard. It reads like a soccer report where, you know, such and such were down to 10 men.
I'm just disappointed there was no one there to video this row. The London clubs, obviously, they want to keep their own players in the clear, and fair play to them for that, in fairness. But yeah, when it was down to 10 men, it's a soccer report kind of thing, and it means that basically there's one player missing from every line of the field for that club. Like, so it's just,
what would you do if you're down to 10 men? Just play with no forwards?
Jeez.
One forward, like, I mean, what shape do you, well, you'd have to.
I wouldn't say any team has ever prepared for going down to 10 men in Gaelic football.
The
now,
what
anyway.
Ifs, what ifs that Alan Brogan was talking about. Yeah.
It would want to be a coach who's prepared for absolutely every single eventuality.
Yeah, obviously goalkeeper, 6 backs, 2 midfielders and 1 up front, Lee.
Oh God, yeah, I'm racking my head here. I don't even know if I'd stick the 1 up front if it's 2 black yards, down to 10 men. Like, you've got 14 outfield players running at you, and it depends what sort of system they set up with to start with. You know, were they defensive? Was the plan to go at them? You know, what were they doing in training all that week? That's a headache that I don't think any manager's really going to be equipped for.
No, definitely not. In the Tipperary Hurling Championship, a bit of drama here, in fairness. The Boris Lee game had loads of drama in it. John McGrath hit 4-5 in the first half of their match. Like, they're not playing any kind of Egypt's here. They're playing Kilruan McDonagh's, and they only won by 3 points, 4-15 to 21 points. He scored 4-5 and a half of hurling, Niall.
Exactly. And then when they really needed a point late on, it was John McGrath who popped up with his seventh point.
Well,
now
I would be
half,
very disappointed with him only getting 1 point in the second half. Important or not?
He had the damage done. Like, it was the John McGrath show in Turles. Like, I think it was. He had 1-1 after 3 minutes, he had 2-2 after 10 minutes, 3-3 after 20, 4-5 after half an hour. Like, he just stayed building it up the whole way through. But like,
his first goal was sensational, even though it was a very suspect hand pass to him.
I know, the hand pass over the head. You see a lot of lads, it's a handy way to get yourself out of trouble. I think it was Liam Tracy, he did very well to set him up there. But like, John McGrath, like, what a loss. He obviously wasn't in form this year. Like, he kind of had a tough year after, I suppose, losing the 2 county finals last year and never really recovered. But he kind of showed signs of the form when he came on against Waterford. I know his goal, Sean O'Brien saved his goal shot, but John McGrath looked lively that day, and ever since for Loughmore, he's been absolutely, like, he's been on fire. But he's just, like, just having watched him so much, like, being from Tipperary, I think when he's on form, there's no more stylish hurler in the country. Like, the way he does it, he kind of reminds me of Mo Salah in the way that he's never sprinting, but he's always finds himself in so much space. Like, and a defender trying to mark him, like, he gives a little shimmy. He's kind of, every time he has the ball, he gives it a little shake in his hands, or he's shaking his hips, and he can just kind of stand up then and throw it over as if it's the easiest thing in the world. Like, and no, he was on fire. The first goal was brilliant. The second, just the goal, he didn't have a chance. Like, but it's huge for Tipperary next year that he will be on form. But
yeah,
also for Loughmore Castellini, like, Noel McGrath was brilliant. Lee McGrath was brilliant. Brian McGrath, it was the McGrath show in general. But with John in that form, for the Tipperary Championship. Like, I know Kildanion are the defending champions, but Loughmore will be very hard to beat.
They will, yeah. And I think maybe even playing on the two-man full forward line that Sheedy was kind of experimenting with, it maybe didn't suit McGrath as well. I do take the point with the, geez, he got an awful doing in the club, losing both, and, you know, a big run to it. He seemed very tired. Borisoghlé, like we mentioned, they beat Mulnahone after extra time. Imagine poor Paul Curran and Owen Kelly going to extra time. You know, and the two of them playing so well for Mulnahone. It's a head scratcher with Mulnahone. Where have they come from now? You know, like, I mean, did they have a very good minor team or not? Like, I didn't think Mulnahone would be able to put it up to Borisoghlé like that.
Yeah, well, sure, I know where they came from. They beat us in the county final last year.
That was it. Did you beat, and what did they beat you by? They only came up from senior B.
Senior B, yeah. They beat us by 5 points last year. But, like, they would, like, traditionally, they would be a senior club. Like,
and yeah, they won one back in the noughties.
I think it was 2002 or 2002.
Yeah,
yeah. But, yeah, like, they're just, I suppose they don't, they've a few young lads that are coming onto the team, the likes of Mikey O'Shea, there's a Shelley, like Colin Shelley, cornerback, and Jack Shelley, he's a brilliant player for them. And do you remember Sean Kernwell? He used to play for Tipperary a bit back in the day, Paul's brother, actually. But they're just a very sort of a strong team all over, with a brilliant work rate as well, and just very hard to beat. And I suppose that's what Borisoghlé found out there on Friday night. Anytime they pulled away from Mulnahone were straight back, like, and sure, Owen Kelly, he scored 11 points, I think it was 2 from play, but he's been doing that all year this year, just kind of leading the thing for Mulnahone and, like, coming up with scores when they really need scores. Like, in the end, it took a bit of brilliance from Niall Kenny to sort of inspire Borisoghlé, but they'll be a bit concerned. Brendan Maher went off injured with, it seemed like a knee injury, so hopefully he's all right, because they'll definitely need him for the next round. Like, the four clubs in the semi-finals now, it's Thurles, Kildanion, Loughmore, Borisoghlé, and if you were to predict it at the start of the year, they probably would have been the four. So it's all coming to an exciting conclusion in Tipperary.
Yeah, Nemo, I was mentioning, were out of the Cork Championship. Douglas beat them 110 to 11 points. It was a 57-minute goal, a bit like Ballinamore. Daniel Hart, Nemo were going for 3 in a row here, Lee. So, like, I mean, we're not seeing too many defending champions. We saw St. Bridget's and we saw a tie go out last week in Roscommon and Kildare. We see Nemo going out in Cork.
Yeah, they're all taking the Tyrone example. You know, it's not cool to win 2 in a row.
Oh, Dungannon too, yeah.
Yeah, you just want to go out in the get your title, and then you drink and you hang over, and then you go again in 2 years' time. That's the way to do it. But no, it is. It's weird that the reigning champions, they're starting to lose a bit of steam. And I don't know if it's any trending theme or anything like that. Like, I mean, it's just so hard to win a county title. And then so to actually retain one, and the demands it takes, you know, to go again after giving so much of your life and commitment that first time round, you know, to go again the second and then a third and some occasions a fourth, you know, I mean, it's just a huge ask, and, you know, it has to stop at some stage.
It is, yeah. In Laois Championship, Port Arlington, they're the defending champions. They beat Stradbally 16 points to 8, double scores. So they're into the semi-final. Port Laois got over Old MCs after extra time. Ricky Maher and Benny Carroll came on there, kind of gave them a bit more shape in the half forward line. Port Laois were looking like they were in big trouble in that game and ended up winning it after extra time. So that's Laois Championship is into semi final stages as well. Dottie Burke was sent off for Turlough Moor. And tell me about the club that I'd never heard of in my life that beat them. Kilnamina Leitrim. We're 9 points down against Turlough Moor. Dottie Burke sent off, and then they collapsed.
You weren't far off with that one. It was Kilnadima Leitrim.
Kilnadima.
But yeah, they were, Turlough Moor were 10 points up at one stage. And, like, sure, when you're winning a game by that much, and especially when you're fancy to win a game like that, yeah, I'd say you're nearly kind of, right, this job is done. Like, we're through to the quarterfinals now. But Kilnadima Leitrim, they've been kind of, like, they wouldn't have been.
Why is Leitrim in their name?
Oh, don't ask me.
An amalgamation with it.
It must be something like that. But they've been a decent club. They won an intermediate. Actually, I think they got to an All Ireland intermediate final a few years back. But they've a good few young players now. Kilnadima Leitrim, the likes of Colin Malloy, Brian Malloy, and Dylan Tawalawi. He actually got the goal. I think it was just after Jahi Burke was sent off just after it. So it was kind of a bit of a double whammy for Turlough Moor. and Kilnadeema Leitrim just took over the game from there. And it's a great win for them because Turlochmore, they were in the final last year.
Yeah.
I suppose if any club was tipped to beat St. Thomas's, Turlochmore were the club. So it's a great scalp for Kilnadeema Leitrim, and they'll be buzzing heading into the quarterfinals.
One other one is Portumna, who I always keep my eye out for because I always used to love watching them. Obviously Joe Canning and our own Damien Hayes. Only lost to Gort, who were one of the big clubs, by 3 points. And this is a Portumna without Joe Canning.
Yeah, like I was tuning into this one myself as well, and like I live right beside Portumna, so like you were very disappointed for them to lose it, because the whole way through the game they look like winners of this one. I think they were up by 7 or 8 at half time, and by all accounts they were hurling very well, like, and to be doing that without Joe Canning, like it really is brilliant stuff from Portumna, because they had a very bad campaign last year. And this year, though, they've kind of gradually picked up steam. There's a few young lads coming on through. A lot of the older lads are gone, but Andy Smith is still there flying
the
flag for them.
A good one.
And oh, great one. Like, he's tough as nails, like as tough a competitor as you'll ever come across, really. Like, and he's hurling great for them. And Ronan O'Mara as well. He's been on and off the Gala panel, but he's an absolutely gifted hurler. If there's a man... if there's a best club hurler who's not hurling county, I'd say Ronan O'Mara is the man.
What age is he?
He's around 25, year older than me, but he was brilliant Gala minor and
Portumna man.
Yeah, Portumna man, and he was been on and off senior panels, but managers haven't really taken to him, it seems. But
issues or anything like that?
I couldn't tell you, would he?
You're too close to be saying things like that. To be all over in Gort in the local nightclub after you, Niall. Some older generation still performing for their clubs. JJ Delaney scored 1-2 for Fenians. He's playing full forward now, Niall. Like, this is beyond belief. JJ scored 1 point in his entire Kilkenny career. It was in Amore Park because we did a tribute show with him with Brian Cody, and Brian Cody was laughing. Brian Cody didn't even believe that he'd scored a point in his whole Kilkenny. Now playing full forward, he's doing a Paddy Deegan on it. 1-1-1-2. And for me, this makes so much sense. If you've got a paw like JJ Delaney, like maybe the greatest that's ever played, you would make an argument. If he's doing that in the full back line, what's saying he can't catch deliveries into the full forward line? And he's so close to the goals when he's catching them in there, he's hardly going to miss from in there. Like, I mean, if you have a good paw as a full back, you have to be a good full forward.
Yeah, Fenians seem to have seen the light, Wally. JJ, I was chatting to a lad from Fenians last year because they were in the relegation final, and JJ was after popping up and he caught an outrageous ball in the half back line and stuck it over the bar to helped him survive as an intermediate club. But now he's gone up to the full forward line. I'd say this is his first year there, and just like Paddy Deegan, he seems to have slotted right in. But as you say, it's not too much of a lad like JJ, he could kind of hurl anywhere because he's able to catch the ball. And sure, once he does that, instead of lamping it out the field, now all he has to do is turn around and stick it in the net. Yeah. And that's what he did at the weekend.
Get this one, Alan McNamee, he's 39. JJ's 39 as well, and he's playing in his 20th county final. Imagine that, Lee, 20 county finals.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely unheard of, 20 county finals. Hopefully, if he wins this one, it'll be his 13th win. He's won 12 already, 7 losses, and it's just testament, you know, to his hunger and his conditioning and the fact that he just keeps wanting more and more. You know, he's not satisfied being in double figures for county titles. And just fair play to him. Like, I mean, who knows when he'll actually stop and what the end figure could be.
Yeah, he's won them in 3 decades, 98, 4 decades, the noughties. What are the next decade called? The teens. And then the 20s. What is it before the 20s? Anyways, 4 decades he's won county titles in, which is sensational. I have a 6 county title win, 2 loss ratio, which isn't too bad, is it?
Yeah, we're a bit behind Alan McNamee now.
my win ratio is better.
Well, there's no argument with that one, in fairness. But to have played in 20, like to play in 20 county finals, like you often hear about lads when they're heading out to a county final, they say, "This could be the biggest day of my life." Well, Alan McNamee, he's had a lot of those days, hasn't he?
Yeah, he certainly has. Kieran Donaghy played for Austin Stacks. They beat Ken Mayer Yesterday to win three club titles in a row. Donaghy is 39, so still going very strong at 39. He didn't score, but you know he doesn't need to score to cause an awful lot of problems. I was told that club championship, I was told by a couple of people on direct messages. A lot of people send me direct messages, like they don't want to be seen sending them. Nobody gives a shit about that club championship in Kerry, I'm told, so I'm not going to spend too much time. The next one is the big one with the divisional teams in it. Wait and you get this. Ardcloc, 3:15, Quail Dove, I think I've gotten them right, 2:17, 1 point win in the Kildare Senior Hurling Championship quarter final for Ardcloc. Tony Spain scored 1-2 for Ardcloc. He's on the go a long time now for Kildare, 45, Niall. And his buddy Colin Boogie scored 1-1. He's 42. They both played wing forward. Traditionally, a position where you have to cover a lot of ground.
That's a combined age of 87 for the wing forwards, I think. Like, Jesus Christ. You were saying last week...
I hope they're not wearing GPSs. Or
in fairness, you were saying last week that you'd prefer to see some of the older lads out in the middle of the field, sort of maybe in the half-hour line, throwing the ball around,
yeah,
while a lot of them get pushed into the full forward line. But these boys, they're in the middle of it. Like, the wing forwards do as much running as anybody in a game of hurling, so... Geez, fair play to the lads. They must have some commitment to stay going till that age.
Yeah, 45 is some age now. Like, I mean, I'm 43 and I'm struggling at Junior B. Like, I mean, so be playing senior hurling at 45 and scoring 1-2 from wing forward is some going. Another man who could easily get to 45 is Conal Keeney. He scored 1-1 for Ballyboden. They were beaten by Coola after extra time. He's 39. He's still playing dual. So he's not even getting his week off. He's playing every week, like we're saying, John McGrath and Noel McGrath, oh, they got very tired, you know, they're playing every week with their club, they're in their 20s. Connell's doing it at 39.
Yeah, like I interviewed him before and he was actually kind of crediting the dual thing for, I suppose, keeping his enthusiasm going as well. And like, you can see where he's coming from that point of view as well. Like, but no, I seen a picture of him there yesterday. Sure, the man, like, he's in the condition he's in. Yeah. He's like a professional athlete, like, and he's as strong as anyone that's out on the field out there. And, like, he by all accounts, he had a brilliant game yesterday for Ballyboden. They were just a little bit unlucky, but Coola, they're kind of like Ballyhale. They just managed to kind of grind out these tight games. Like, I think Con O'Callaghan got 4 points. Darrell Connell was brilliant.
Great that Con only got 1 point now. Maybe we're reading different reports, because I was surprised that Sean Moran got 2-3 from corner forward. Now, Dublin need a corner. Dublin needs some kind of size and danger in there. Like, I mean, he has to be trialed out in there at some point.
He's been a strange one the last few years. Like,
yeah, he's lost confidence, I think.
Yeah, like, he was such a, for a few years there, he was such a brilliant player. And when Coola were winning the Club All-Irelands, like, he was the man. Like, but Dublin do need a forward. I think he was there last year too. I knew him on the show here, and he scored a good bit that
scored
day as well.
Scored a couple of goals one day, yeah.
But like, he's brilliant in the air, and he seems to be a good finisher as well. And definitely an option for Dublin. I know in the other quarter final there was big scores for Kilmacud Crokes. I think it was Ronan Hayes and Alex Constantine scored like 114 between them or something. And Constantine was like, Hayes is obviously, he's been decent the last few years, but
yeah,
he seems to be improving all the time as well. And your man Constantine, he was on the minors a few years ago, but he got 1-5 from play now in that quarter final. So I suppose they need forwards, so these are sort of green shoots for Dublin.
Yeah, definitely. Hayes has potential. Hayes and Sean Moran maybe in a full forward line for Dublin next year. We could keep our eye out for that. Cowlery, probably pronounced it wrong again, even though a fella DM'd me the exact pronunciation. They were in their first ever senior quarter final, and geez, they nearly did it. They nearly beat St. Lomans, who were defending champions. 8 points all, just run, and Lomans scored 1-2 without reply in the last part of the game to beat them. So fair play to them. It's worth a shout out. Shane Curran's team in Westmeath, they were 2019 intermediate champions. They were 6-5 up at half time. So they're out. Anyway, Westmeath are in their semi-finals. Right, that's it for the club. That's probably the longest club roundup we've done since we started in the club season. We'll come back for another little while and we'll talk about one or two other stories. Okay, so a little bit more championship restructures chat here now. Don't worry, hurling people, you're probably sick of this by now, but it's pretty important to the football people, so we have to keep pushing it because Special Congress is on, obviously, next weekend. And there is some new news since the last show. So the last show we were talking about Conor O'Donoghue's projections, where the Plan B stood to generate 10 million more. They were based off his, he kind of based his numbers off Super 8 attendances, and he was of the opinion that a Division 1 attendances of those for those seven games would be similar to Super 8 attendances. And I thought that made a little bit of sense. The GAA weren't having this, Lee, because they have their Director of Finance, Jeremy Ryan. He sent treasurers in every county board his projections. And it has Plan B third on the list. Now, not much difference in the status than what the status quo is now. But at the same time, he had Plan B lower than the other two plans, even though Connor had it way above the other two plans. And amazingly, the GAA are basing their projections for a league-based championship. So the league is now in the summer and it's linked to the All-Ireland. It is the big show in town. They're based their projections off league attendances that are played in February and March.
Yeah, I think the GAA have showed their hand just a little bit with this one. You hear nothing from them for ages regarding the Plan B proposal. And then suddenly, when it becomes really public, oh, potentially all these good things can happen financially, they come straight back out with, oh, no, it's actually not that good. It's not that good. You know, everyone calm down with it. I don't know why they based it off the league. The league beforehand was always, and this is just tradition, this is the way it's always been, no one has any issue with this, but the league beforehand was always preparation for the championship. Now, a bigger and better preparation than, say, like a McKenna Cup or a Burn Cup or something, but and taken still very seriously. People wanted to be promoted. They wanted to be in the best division that they can be, but it was still just build up. You know, it was still second tier compared to the main championship. So I don't know why they took the league attendances or the attendance figures based on that when the league-based championship is the championship. You know, they're getting confused. They're saying that it's a league and then it becomes a championship. It's not. The whole thing is the championship. So I feel like you got to take the attendance figures from previous championships. It's just it's the only way that makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know how some people are discrediting it by saying that there's the league and then the quarterfinals on, preliminary quarterfinals, that's the championship. Like, I mean, that's not it. It's a league-based championship. Those seven games are championship games. Why are people not getting that? I don't understand it. They're played in the summer. They're filtering in to the All-Ireland quarterfinals. They're all championship matches. And that's it. Like, there's no confusion about this. So I do feel that the GAA showed their hand, Niall, by you know, releasing these figures, which has the status quo as the most lucrative. And that's the big worry, that the GAA don't want to change anything other than bring in the Tailteann Cup. They have the Plan B. Now, there's minimal enough differences in between the amounts anyways. The status quo is 19.6 million revenue generated and the Plan B is 18.8. So it's pretty negligible. And this is based off the worst league-based championship figures that you could possibly imagine. You're averaging 9,000. In Division 1, Niall. Like, I mean, it's incredible what they've done here. And I'm very, very concerned about what they're pushing behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think it's fairly unbelievable, really, that they are using that gauge, that using league attendances and saying that will be the championship attendances. Like, that's like championship clearly will have more of a draw.
In the summer.
Like, this isn't just a league. Like, it has the kind of rewards and the risk of a championship game. Like, so I think any spectator, any supporter, any punter, like, they'll be looking forward to these games as if they're sort of championship games. And as you mentioned it there, that the quarterfinal, that's when the championship starts. The only thing I could compare that to is the setup they have there in the Kilkenny Club Hurling Championship, where it's the league, say, starting off and then it's into the championship. But sure, all those clubs take the league just as important, because that's what defines, that's the start of your championship campaign, and that defines your form and whether you're going to be competing. Like, so
yeah,
no, it's
so, like, even like I was talking to Brian McAvoy, and I used the example of the Munster League and how the attendances, like, their league games now, if the GAA want to call them league games, it's a league championship, and the attendances haven't suffered at all. And Brian McAvoy said, oh, well, they haven't suffered. This was in the context of comparing them to the provincial championships that's going to be run off on a round robin. But if the Munster Championship hasn't suffered attendances from championship knockout to league-based championship, why do they think that the league-based championship in Gaelic football is going to be, you know, so much lower than what a normal championship game is. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I do worry a lot. I think there's a meeting on tonight. I worry a lot that if the finance director is sending around that kind of information, it's very, very obvious to me, Lee, where the GAA are leaning. Because, you know, and if you even want to accuse Conor O'Donoghue for overinflating the numbers, you know, I don't think he has, but you could accuse him. Why can't they meet somewhere in the middle between his overinflation and their very, very conservative league numbers, which everyone would agree that you cannot compare a league-based championship to a league. One played in May, June, and the other played in February, March. One a warm-up to the championship, the other the championship. Like, why can't they at least even meet somewhere in the middle, which would make Plan B, you know, the most, generate the most revenue? You know, the mind boggles. It really, really does.
Well, I think you answered your own question. The reason that they were conservative with them numbers that they released was because they don't want Plan B going forward, and they want to present it as though it's a really flawed system and that it won't bring in many more revenue, and then people shouldn't vote for it or shouldn't want it. I don't really get it, because there's loads of contradictions with it all now. I thought the issue originally, or one of the main issues, was that the provincial champions, I thought they'll become pre-season tournaments and then they'll lose all their value. And then the league becomes the main championship and it'll have all the value. So why would they take the league-based attendances according to that if the provincial championships is going to be the pre-season? Do you know, like, yeah, which is it?
Yeah.
Like, it's one or the other. Like, I mean, if you're going to pick a flaw, pick one and stick to your guns at the very least. The fact that then the provincial champions will be done, you'll have winners, you'll have losers, and people will start making their predictions for the championship, you know, based on form and based on different things. And then there'll be build up, the weather will be scorching hot, everyone will be getting their tickets for the matches, you'll have the biggest names in town playing each other because of the Division One, and then your own county will be playing teams, you know, on par with themselves. So there's actually winnable games. So I can't see why more people wouldn't go to that, you know. But I understand they have to pick something to base figures on, hypothetically. But the league-based figures, it makes just zero sense to me. I mean, they're still picking a pre-season tournament, or a tournament that is, you know, a warm-up, whatever way you want to call it, to replace the championship statistics. It doesn't add up.
Yeah. So the GPA had released a statement pretty soon after this came out. John Fogarty had that in the Examiner, and he says, the GPA are delighted the GAA has confirmed that there would be no meaningful financial impact should proposal be backed at Special Congress, with only a 4.1% difference between any eventuality using the GAA's surprisingly conservative attendance figures. Given that there has been a concern expressed, we're happy to see it's now clarified and should put delegates' minds at ease on this matter. Like, I mean, a clever response, really, from the GPA, you know, twisting this into a positive, which, you know, realistically, it is a positive. No, 4.1% difference, tiny, tiny difference. And this is using the lowest numbers that could ever possibly happen. So I think any delegate or any treasurer with half a brain in their heads will go, you know, Plan B is going to make more money.
That was nicely done by the GPA.
It was
show no weakness. Like, that was their kind of motto going into that one. But no, like, it is, not to be going back in it, but it is not only is it kind of clutching on straws from the GAA to use the league, it's misleading, like, on top of everything else. Like, so no, you'd be hoping that they reach the right outcome on Saturday, but as a hurling person, I'd be glad to hear the end of it anyway.
Yeah, well, as a hurling person, do you really give a shit?
No, I couldn't care less.
Well, I appreciate your honesty on that, Niall. I get that impression for you. Like, I see it in your face. Will this talk ever, just, can we never move on from this? Again, that's why I've apologised to hurling people like you that are listening and having the show polluted with big ball talk that they don't care about, because obviously the hurling championship has a great structure and the big team, the Division 1 teams play each other all the time, and that's why hurling dominates the championship every June, to the point where you might only see one Gaelic football game in the whole month, you know. So, like, I mean, this is what Gaelic football fans want to see changed. They want to see all the big teams playing each other more often in the football championship, just like the hurling championship. So it's not hard to understand, you know, what everybody wants here. One other one before we get going is James Horan was on the radio. I think he was on local Midwest radio or something this morning. Was it Midwest radio? And he's completely, he has completely, you know, denied that there is any rift in the Mayo backroom team. So he said the amount of untruths. One thing I always wonder about untruths, Why do people say untruths instead of lies? Is there some reason for this that you see the word untruth the whole time instead of a lie? Like if James Horan's saying it's not true, well then it's a lie. So he says the amount of untruths that were published on this has just been phenomenal. Kieran MacDonald and James Burke and myself have been working over the last number of weeks to plot and plan for the new season, and that's really where we need to be. To me it's bonkers. It's bonkers how people... that was published and then people ran with it based on absolutely nothing. It's a complete untruth. Lie. Look, that's where it is. I can't control that. I can't do anything about it. I don't know, Lee. I don't want to say we're guilty. We speculated if that's true with Kieran MacDonald, why would that be? You know, without saying that was reported a lot, probably locally in Mayo, more than anything else. I don't think we're guilty for spreading it. We just talked about what potential, you know, why that might be if it is true. But James Horan saying there's absolutely nothing to see here, and hard to understand how someone would just make that up.
Okay, well, first of all, in terms of using untruths, it's like media training 101, basically, because if you say they're lies, then it means that there is a liar, and then the media publications can take it as James Horan's having an attack on them, and then he starts a war with them. It's all very silly and it's all very formal, but that's what he's trying to avoid anyway. In terms of the rumor circle and stuff, like he says that there's nothing he could do to control it or to stop it. But I'm thinking, like, it's 5 weeks after the championship that they lost that All Ireland against Tyrone, and he's only putting a stop to it by saying, actually, none of this is true. Kieran MacDonald's been in my house. You know, I've been talking to everybody. Everyone's still friends. We agree on most things. And he even joked that the only thing they disagree on is the music and everything's rosy. So don't know that is that put to the name, but I just don't see why it couldn't have came out earlier, why they couldn't have just, you know, and squashed it pretty much from the off.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. That's a good point. Maybe he didn't want to give it the attention and that it deserved because he thought it was an untruth. And maybe, you know, when it started growing legs, maybe he said, I think he mentioned something about wanting to speak to the county board first or something, maybe to see what the plans for the following year. But that's it. He says, Kieran Mac has been in my house. I don't know how many times. We talk maybe 4 or 5 times a day, plotting and planning what we can do and working with James. He says, I'm working with James. I know there was a clip that was sent around of James Burke saying something to me. There was a couple of hundred people behind us and it was a little bit noisy. So I asked James to repeat what he said, and it's been taken out of context. I think this is a video. I've never seen this video, but I hear it's a video. It looked like James Horan shouting at James Burke, and I'd say people maybe read into that and put one and one together and got, you know, 3 or 4. But the reality is, like, I mean, James Horan and Kieran MacDonald are ex-teammates. They go back a long way, you know, like, I mean, so I don't know. Maybe it was just the disappointment of it. And I think often after All Ireland's in Mayo, there's a fallout and a lot of these things start going around anyways, probably like most counties.
There seems to be a whole load of untruths going around up in Mayo, Wooly. But it is. I suppose after when a team loses, you kind of just, I suppose, people are looking for a scapegoat.
You want to find out why, and it's because they don't get along, and the selectors don't. You know, I suppose it's trying to,
like, it happened down in Kerry. There was it last year, the year previous as well. So it kind of just, I suppose, when things go wrong, people want a person to lay it all on, and I suppose that kind of happened in Mayo. There was a whole lot of different kind of, we'll say, untruths. That's what they're calling them. And because Lee's after teaching me a good one.
Yeah,
there,
it's a legal thing, you see. If you say something's a lie, then the person is a liar, and now you could get sued for it.
Geez, I'll never write a liar in an article again now. cheers for that one, Lee.
Yeah, well, I think if a lie is a lie, then the person that did it is a liar. Because if James Horan says he's in my house every day, well, then the person that wrote it, okay, listen, I'm not going
to
go.
2021.
2021, you can't say anything anymore. He's defended Aidan O'Shea as well. He said that the timing of that article coming out the week before the All-Ireland wasn't good. So I suppose that was fair enough. Defended Aidan O'Shea then and other things, you know, stuff he does in the community. And most people know that about Aidan O'Shea anyway. So that's it. The panic in Mayo is over. Very disappointed in their All-Ireland performance, he said, as well, which is fair enough. And, you know, fixed a few things. And you're right, Lee, he needed to do that. And like you say, he could have potentially done it a little bit sooner than he did. But anyways, that's it. That's all we've time for today, lads. We'll be back on Thursday. We'll look ahead. Definitely Naomh Connell Kilcar match will take centre stage. So we'll talk to you all then. Good luck.
But this little dink ball, the only one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground, and it bounces into a fellow's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
No, really. Yeah, I wasn't being asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring at me, "Hey, Cuffrey, you Free State bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."